From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starter from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. The Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, will coordinate with stakeholders to cut licensing for micro, small and medium enterprises to make it easier. Minister Sandiaga Uno said that statement in the written statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday. He said he would provide incentive so that the micro, small and medium enterprises, MSME players, could survive while preparing themselves to revive the economy after the COVID-19 pandemic. His party will provide incentive for them to survive. Not only survive, but they are preparing themselves so that post-pandemic micro, small and medium enterprises can catch on to be winners. The minister also said that when he served as Deputy Governor of DKI Jakarta, licensing issues had become his priority. The National Energy Council revealed a way for Indonesia to be free from energy imports, both from imports of fuel oil, BBM and LPG. The council member Daryatmo Mardianto said the effort was by continuing to pursue the need for BBM and LPG and encouraging the use of the energy sources at the same time. This was stated by Daryatmo Mardianto after the inauguration and oath-taking ceremony in Jakarta on Friday. As reported by Antara News Agency, Daryatmo explained that the main step that must be taken is maintaining and increasing oil and gas reserves. On the other hand, what is important to do is continue to encourage other energy sources so Indonesia does not depend on certain energy. Daryatmo admitted that Indonesia cannot deny the fact that there is a lack of supply and the need for energy imports. However, efforts to reduce imports must be carried out, including covering these imports with other energy sources. The British ambassador to Indonesia, Owen Jenkins, expressed his hope that Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah would be willing to take part in the efforts of world religious leaders to combat climate change. In a separate meeting this week, Jenkins, together with the Chancellor of Italian Embassy, Giovanni Brignone, encouraged the two largest Islamic organizations in Indonesia to accept Pope Francis' invitation to attend the high-level conference summit of religious leaders. This was said by Jenkins in a statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday. He added that the roles of these two organizations will have a very significant impact if they wholeheartedly voice their support in the fight against climate change. All major religions in the world record the moral obligation of mankind to protect God's creation. This year, Britain and Italy will co-host the Climate Change Summit Car Ownership Program COP26. Both countries argue that the world's religious organizations play an important role in global issues that require the efforts of all these societies. Let's move on to the international news. Former White House Communication Director Alyssa Farah on Friday called on U.S. President Donald Trump to consider resignation in the aftermath of the Capitol unrest and said she would never vote for her former employer. In an interview with CNN, Farah explained that she decided to quit last December out of reluctance to assist Trump's refusal to concede and his bid to overturn the election defeat to President-elect Joe Biden. She agreed that she would feel safer if Vice President Mike Pence took over for the last days before Biden's January 20th inauguration. Thousands of Trump supporters violently stormed the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday in a bid to prevent Congress from certifying the election results. The attack came shortly after Trump urged his supporters to march on the Capitol and fight much harder to overturn the election results. 5 people died as a result of the ensuing violence. The U.S. House of Representatives could move to impeach President Donald Trump as early as next week if he is not removed from office for inciting this week's deadly violence at the Capitol, Assistant U.S. House Speaker Catherine Clark said on Friday. Clark also said the House would almost certainly take such steps if Vice President Mike Pence does not agree to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office. The 25th Amendment allows for a temporary or permanent transfer of power from the U.S. President to Vice President if the majority of cabinet members certify to the Congress that the President is unable to perform his duties. Travelers arriving in England and Scotland will soon be required to show negative coronavirus test, officials said on Friday, as they try to curb the spread of new strain. The UK's government had previously argued against the requirement, which has already been introduced in other countries, saying quarantining of those arriving from high-risk countries was more effective. Now, international travellers arriving in England will be required to present a negative COVID-19 test taken within the last 72 hours. The measures, which also apply to British nationals, will come into effect from early next week. Passengers who do not comply with the regulation face a £500 sterling fine. Scotland government, which has devolved powers in health and transport, said it would also introduce the rule as soon as practically possible. UK Transport Secretary Grant Shapps said he had talked to officials in Wales and Northern Ireland, which also set health and transport policy there, and said they would also like implement the rule. A planned court appearance next week by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in his long-awaited trial for corruption has been indefinitely delayed in the face of Israel's freshly tightened coronavirus lockdowns, the judges announced on Friday. Netanyahu's trial for bribery, fraud and breach of trust began last May, with the premier being excused from subsequent hearings as his lawyers argued for more time to review prosecution evidence. The Israeli Prime Minister was due to be in court on Wednesday for the presentations of his formal response to the charges. But in a statement issued on Friday, the Jerusalem District Court ruled that taking into consideration the large amount of participants in the hearing and the lockdown in place, the hearing set for January 13, 2021 is cancelled. Afghanistan, Canada, Sweden, Ukraine and the United Kingdom on Friday jointly pledged to prosecute Iran over last year's downing of a Ukrainian Boeing 737 that claimed the lives of their citizens. The joint statement was issued on the first anniversary of the downing of Ukraine International Airlines UIA Boeing aircraft by the member states of International Coordination and Response Group for the Victims of Flights PS752. The country has also called on Iran to submit a thorough report on the events that preceded the crash and precautionary measures made by Tehran to prevent such incident in the future. The foreign minister of the countries affected by the incident said that they expect a formal negotiation with Iran on the matter to start soon. Listener, that was the news. On news from across the country, the first news comes from Ambon, Maluku. Maluku Governor Murat Ismail last Wednesday said of the export of 15 tons of fresh tuna to Japan directly from the cargo terminal at the Ambon Patimura International Airport. On that occasion, Governor Murat said that the export and investment are important keys to the economic progress of a region. The economy that continues to grow has an impact on reducing inequality and poverty. According to him, the export opportunity for Maluku is currently wide open, especially from fishery products. However, its implementation requires synergy amid global conditions that are still hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. He also asked exporters in Maluku to continue to improve their performance and be more observant of new opportunities and innovation. Next news comes from Pekanbaru, Riau. Nusantara 5 Plantation and the Riau Natural Resources Conservation Agency form a joint team for handling the Sumatran elephant or Elephamas maximus sumatranus. The joint team involved company employees, Riau Natural Resources Conservation Agency personnel, and the community. Nusantara 5 Plantation Chief Executive Officer Jatmiko Kasantosa in a written statement in Pekanbaru last Wednesday said that the joint team had received Sumatran elephant mitigation training held at one of the plantation units in Air Molek, Indraguru Hulu Regency, Riau. Through this synergy, it is hoped that the potential for conflict between elephants, protected under Law No. 5 of 1990 and local people, can be prevented. Meanwhile, the head of Riau Natural Resources Conservation Agency, Suharyono, appreciated Nusantara 5's steps in caring about the conservation of the Sumatran wild elephant, which is one of Indonesia's endemic wildlife species whose population is already under threat. Last news comes from Denpasar, Bali. Bali Governor Wayan Koster last Tuesday said the province of Bali achieved the highest ranking in implementing health protocols. He said, "The indicator of achieving the application of health protocols was based on compliance with the use of masks, with the percentage reaching 96.47%, the highest in Indonesia. The compliance with maintaining distance and avoiding crowds in Bali with a percentage of 91.95% is also the highest in Indonesia." For the achievement of this good performance, Governor Koster expressed his appreciation and thanked the Balinese people. He hopes that the achievement in handling COVID-19 can build the trust of local people, national and international communities, so that they can be optimistic that tourism and the economy of Bali will revive. That was news from across the country.
The first event is that on January 9, 1951, the UN headquarters was inaugurated in New York City. The United Nations UN was officially opened in New York City on January 9, 1951. It is the most important location and the main venue for UN meetings such as the UN General Assembly, the UN Security Council, and the UN Economic and Social Council. In addition to being a meeting place, the UN headquarters has also the UN Secretariat building. After the establishment of the United Nations in 1945, the UN headquarters was in London. However, on October 9, 1949, the first stone of the United Nations headquarters was placed in New York City, United States. At that time, John D. Rockefeller II also donated his asset of 7-hectare land on the eastern edge of Manhattan to the United Nations. Finally, the 39-story building was completed in 1951, which consisted of the General Assembly building, conference buildings, and the UN Secretariat building. After the main building of the complex was completed in 1961, the Dale Hammarskjöld Library and the UN Plaza building were also built between 1969 until 1976. The next event is that in 2005, Mahmoud Abbas was elected as Palestinian president. Mahmoud Abbas was born and growing up in Safed British Mandate. He was elected president to the Palestinian National Authority on January 9, 2005.
After graduating from elementary school in the city, he moved to Syria after the war in 1948. He continued his secondary school and college in Damascus. After graduating from the Law School of Damascus University, he founded Syria's first Palestinian institution in 1954. This is also the beginning of his political career. The last event is that in 1988, Gombloh passed away. On January 9, 1988, grief shrouded Indonesian music industry. Because the singer was unique with nationalism in his every song he sang. Gombloh or Suyarwoto Sumarsono passed away in Surabaya, East Java due to lungs disease he suffered for a long time. Gombloh once joined the music group Lemon Trees Anno 69 with an art rock genre and released a Javanese song titled Sekar Mayang. He had also written songs for other singers to sing such as Tangis Kerinduan for Yatu Parwati and Merah Putih, which was sung together in 1986. In commemorating the figure of Gombloh, a number of Surabaya artists formed the Surabaya Artists Solidaritas in 1996. The purpose of this association was to create a memory for Gombloh, who was considered an artist's hero. Gombloh's statue, made of bronze weighing about 200 kilograms, was built in the courtyard of the Surabaya People's Amusement Park. Listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
I know life is out there, and I know that I should be there, yeah, I know. Stuck in the projection of a virtual affection, yeah, I know.
You could say I'm dragging, but I show I'm just a poser with no flow. I'm just a loser, but I grow. Know that I hear ya, so shut up and go. Cause I don't mind.
No, I don't. Talking by my life, but I keep walking. Yeah, I know. Still stuck in the projection of a virtual affection. Yeah, I know. You could say I'm bragging, put on a show. I'm just a poser with no flow.
I'm just a poser.
I'm just a loser, but I'll grow. Know that I hear. So shut up and go. Cause I don't mind. No, I don't.
No, I don't mind.
I don't mind.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Investment Coordinating Board will require large investors to partner with micro, small and medium enterprises in the partnership program that the situation launched at the end of 2020. The board's special staff for National Entrepreneur Improvement, Pradana Indra Putra, in a written statement in Jakarta, quoted head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Bahlil Lahadalia, who often said that investment are not only a buy big investor, small ones also need to be considered. He said micro, small and medium enterprises are heroes. When there was a world economic recession, they survived and became the driving force for the nation's economy. Pradana revealed that the goal of the partnership program is so that investment can have a significant impact on the acceleration of Indonesia's post-pandemic economic recovery. He was speaking in the final meeting on encouraging large investment in partnership with micro, small and medium enterprises, organized by the Investment Coordinating Board and PT Surveyor Indonesia. According to Pradana, the partnership between large investors and micro, small and medium enterprises encourage quality and inclusive investment, equitable distribution of the economy and resources nationally, empowering local entrepreneurs, and accelerating regional economic growth and development. He explained that the growth of micro, small and medium enterprises in Indonesia continues to increase. However, the number of micro and small businesses that have increased to become medium and large enterprises has stagnated. Meanwhile, micro, small and medium enterprises contribute greatly to the national economy. As many as 120 million of Indonesia's 133 million workforce work in the sector, both formal and informal. 99% of the total business units in Indonesia and more than 61% of Indonesia's gross domestic products was contributed by micro, small and medium enterprises, with the majority being in micro enterprises. So Pradana emphasized that the state must be present for them, assisting access to capital, assisting market access and marketing, to providing workforce training. This partnership program between large investor and micro and small and medium enterprises involve 55 foreign investment companies and domestic investment. That was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo choku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai o fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhou yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhou bao hu ni. 你的口罩 保护我
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
masa ini.
Tak pernah padamkan rinduku.
Namun sebaliknya rasa sayangku tercurahkan semua hanya untukmu. Sampai matiku kena kesatu untukmu.
Mata hatimu mengarah, please baby jangan marah-marah. Cintaku takkan pernah berubah. Ku percaya nanti pasti akan berakhir indah. Pada waktunya cuma kita berdua, dua hati satu cinta, saling menjaga. Ini lagu untukmu, cobalah kau dengarkan. Baby I love you till the end of time.
Baby oh,
you're the one for me, you're the one for me,
you're the one for me.
Office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, today I'm going to take you to Banyumas in Central Java Province to taste and enjoy the typical culinary, namely kraca. Listener, kraca is a typical Banyumas food using small snails that are usually obtained from rice fields as the basic ingredients. Banyumas residents call this rice field snail as kraca. During the fasting month, kraca is usually a popular dish and the target of residents as a menu for breaking the fast. So, kraca seems to be a compulsory food for breaking the fast for Banyumas residents. Even most of the Banyumas people consider it incomplete if they don't eat kraca during the fasting month. To make kraca, the snails must first be washed up and then perforated in the bag. The goal is to remove dirt so that the spices soak in. Then the snails are soaked overnight. In the morning, they are washed again and again until really clean. To cook it, salty spices such as onions, nutmeg, pepper, salt, and other spices that have been grounded. Then add the washed snails. After the spices soak, add enough water and boil for approximately 4 to 5 hours. Afterwards, the kraca, which has a delicious, spicy, and fresh taste with a soft texture, is ready to be served. enjoy this kracha is by sucking the shell or by using a toothpick to be able to take the meat that is attached to the shell. It's a little unique, but the taste sensation will definitely be addicting. For one bowl of kracha, the prices start from 5,000 rupiah to 15,000 rupiah. Listeners, if you have a culinary hobby, you can try kracha, which becomes special culinary in Banyumas Central Java. This is the voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. See you next time.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku o chaku yo shite, COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
There will always be.
Well, listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, amidst the government's continuous efforts to improve literacy culture in Indonesia, the results of the Digital Reader Survey in 2020, which discusses reading interest amid the COVID-19 pandemic, provide good news. The results of this survey indicate that Indonesia's reading interest is known to have increased during the pandemic, even surpassing the United States. The Digital Reader is an international portal that frequently documents the digital revolution and the rise of readers around the world. From the results of this report, not only has the use of paid movie watching services increased, but interest in reading has also increased. This is in line with the high interest of the community to spend time learning new skills, and books are one of the most used facilities for them to explore these new skills. Although it still shows a decline in sales of physical books, the world's interest in reading has reached 35%. Of all book genres, the survey results found that romance fiction books are the most widely read books. The results of the survey by the Digital Reader put India in first place with an average reading duration of its people of 10 hours 42 minutes per week. In second place is Thailand with 9 hours 24 minutes per week, and then there is China with an average of 8 hours per week. Indonesia itself is ranked 16th with an average reading duration of 6 hours per week. Indonesia outperformed Argentina, which spends 5 hours 54 minutes per week, as well as other countries such as Turkey, Spain, Canada, Germany, and the United States. This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. See you next time.
Sakitku, kegalauan hatiku.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, I'm going to present you a keroncong song entitled Suci to be sung by Indah Susanti. This keroncong song is slow tempo and it was composed by Ramlan. This keroncong song tells about someone who compliments a lover's lovely face. She hopes that her love will last forever until being old. It's like a pair of doves that always get together. The lyrics of this song are not very long. Well, listener, here is Indah Susanti with the keroncong song entitled Suci.
Voice of Indonesia.
Rasa sesak rasa selalu datang terlambat. Seringkali aku terbawa suasana. Pertunjukan sifat seorang manusia. Andai waktu bisa terulang, ku kan mencoba. Sebelumnya
berharap
sedikitnya
tersadar
sebelum ku melihatku. Serahkan semua padanya, jemari menutup telinga. Wajah berwarna merah,
kau tak
bisa ku percaya. Masalah selalu datang pertama. Andai waktu bisa terulang, ku kan mencoba berpikir.
Sebelumnya
berharap
sedikitnya
tersadar
sebelumku.
Oh, melihatku.
Thank you.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitradala. See you on the next English program.